Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're at part 179 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program 281. If you'd like copies of it at the end of the program, we'll tell you how. It's free, and there's no postage and handling. Also, if you don't have finances enough to buy a Bible, we'll send you one free of charge. And we send you literature as well. We'll also insert a copy of my radio program schedule all over the world. But those of you who are listening, I'm sure you know how to get a hold of me right now. We have some testimonials, music, and some reading from the Word of God. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we praise you and thank you for being born in a manger, lying in hay. Father, we thank and praise you for giving us that sign. A lot of people can't figure out what that sign is, Father, but the people back then had the same kind of class consciousness as the people in this world do today. No one had ever seen a baby lying on hay in a manger. That is a sign that's absolutely incredible. If you came, sent an angel today and told us where this a sign would be, a baby born in a manger laying in hay, that would really be a sign, even in this modern day and age. Who would ever expect to see a baby lying in hay in a manger with its mother and her husband there, obviously affluent, and yet they had to lay in a barn, especially when the baby was born. That's a sign to me, and it's a sign that's wrapped in strips of swaddling clothes, which is like strips of cloth. Oh, Father God, anoint this service that souls will be saved, and that the lost will become to realize the actuality of the Word of God, the truthfulness of it. And Lord, that the church will be strengthened. Those that are about to fall away, that they would be renewed in spirit, your spirit. And that the world, they get busy, full of zeal, so you don't spit them out of your mouth. Learning and living in the Word, living in you, Jesus, and you living in us means that we're living in the Word, and that the Word is living in us. You are the Word, your spirit and your life. Lord, let the souls be saved and the church strengthened. And Lord, let truth reign in the world, because there's just no truth except your Word in this world at all. There isn't any truth in the world with the exception of your Word. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, I did many songs with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, and one of them is I, John. I, John, saw all these different signs and wonders in heaven. This is from the book of Revelation, talking about the New Jerusalem. And who is the New Jerusalem? The Bride of Christ. That the New Jerusalem are those of us that are born again of the Spirit. And here we are, myself and J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, singing I, John.
Well, and I, John, saw a mighty number in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. And mighty, well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east. Three gates in the west.
Your brother.
three gates in the north.
Let me tell you, there were
three gates in the south.
And that made
12 gates to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, mighty you will I chance on mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, will I chance on mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, oh, John declared that he saw a man. He had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Cause he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, God the mighty, know that I chance somebody number. Way up in the middle of the air, I chance somebody number. Way in the middle of the air.
I, John, saw mighty signs and wonders, vision up in the kingdom of heaven. And, folks, you're going to be seeing a vision very soon. It's going to be a vision before your very eyes. This world is going to turn in, this entire earth is going to turn into a nightmare for you because you've made it a nightmare to God. You know, it's, of course, he knew it would happen before. He actually prophesied these things, the book of Revelation, around 2,000 years ago. So you're not doing anything that the Lord didn't know was going to happen. He knew what y'all would do out there. And so he put it in the book. And then he tells you what's going to happen to you before just you like to raise hell. Well, the Lord's going to let... He's going to, you know, he had the universe in perfect order. Everything is just like clockwork every day. The sun comes up, then it goes down. The moon comes up, and the tide goes out, and the tide comes in. And all these different things. Then all of a sudden, everything's going to go crazy. It's going to be a nightmare. The moon turned to blood. The sun refusing to shine. Meteorites, stars, actually falling down from heaven, hailstones 100 pounds each, earthquakes to make all other earthquakes look like there's nothing, because the entire world will go off of its axis. Well, anyway, you have some testimonials here, Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, what are they?
A woman named Johnny called from Houston, Texas. She saw the Dry Bones literature in the Houston Chronicle.
Now, the Dry Bones literature is a piece of literature that I wrote that God gave me. It is about my testimony, how I got saved. And it saved my soul when I was really entrenched into the world, like many of you people out there are. And it pulled me right out of the earth, out of the world, into the spiritual realm now. And there's no way I would be a born-again Christian unless this happened to me, because I didn't believe anything anybody said. I found most of the people in my life to be liars, and some people might take an offense at that, but you know, the Bible says don't offend, and that means don't offend God. Offending people, the whole Bible, God offends people, and people offend God. And the people of God. Okay, then go ahead. So Dry Bones, we're talking about that.
She said to please send everything that is available to be sent. She said, I want to do a work for the Lord. She was extremely excited. She sounded like she could hardly contain herself. She wants to be a distributor of your literature wherever she goes. She said she needs to get busy, so she wants your soul-winning literature as soon as possible. Then,
okay, do you have another one?
Yes. Okay. Paul, from Santee, California, he saw your literature in the Orange County Register. He said he is a pastor with the goal to win Muslims to the Lord. He wants your Messiah book to study and give to his congregation. He also wants to distribute them to others.
Keep going.
Okay, and then from Oscar, he called from New York, New York. He saw your literature in the...
From a man named Oscar?
Yes.
Okay, because I thought it might have been Oscar, California or someplace. Okay, from a man named Oscar, then what?
In New York, he saw your literature in the New York Daily News. He called to order more information and said to make sure to include the Messiah book. He said this article is very good, and he's thankful to see the money you put into getting the gospel out.
Right, that ad in the New York Daily News runs about $50,000, $45,000, $50,000, because we had to buy a page and a half, and I believe it came up to around in that area, or even maybe a little more. Then what?
He wants to help distribute your literature in his area.
Mm. And where did we get the $50,000 to buy an ad in the New York Daily News, the Chicago Tribune, all the different newspapers that we bought? We work for it. It certainly didn't come in by tithes and offers, because most people in the world today are robbing God. We're just boiling down to the last of our funds to put these pieces of literature that the Lord has given me into the newspaper. If you don't want to rob God, then give finances to us so that we can get this soul-winning material into newspapers, on television, and throughout the entire world. We could send witnessing teams all over the United States. We're getting so much mail now just from the couple dozen major newspapers, Houston Chronicle and the San Diego newspaper, the Miami, Florida. What was the name of that paper?
The Miami Herald.
So many newspapers, and oh, what a harvest it reaps. We want to get to the sinner. Now, the sinner won't take a gospel tract, and they won't watch a lot of this phony stuff on TV that's called Christianity. But here we can get 300 million people in a very short period of time by sending newspapers into their home. The heathen print it for us, and then they deliver it for us into the homes of the people, the unsuspecting people, and they say it's so wonderful to see something that's truth in the newspaper. And many of them have been saved, and many of them have been given new inspiration as Christians to get out there and get busy for the Lord and to distribute this literature, this wonderful literature that the Lord gave me to write. All right, and then what else do you have there, Sharon?
A man named Henning called from Los Angeles. He said he's on vacation and was at a mall and found your literature on the ground. He said someone tried handing him the same article at the beach, but he rejected it, thinking it was an advertisement or someone asking for money.
No, we don't ask for money, but the Lord does. He's the one that says, unless you want to be judged at the judgment bar of God for robbing God, then you better send in finances so you can get these soul-winning messages on the radio and in newspapers and on the streets. We have crews of people all over the world on the streets distributing this literature. It costs a lot of money for shipping and everything else. Just on the newspapers alone, last month and a half, we spent $1 million. And, you know, we earned the money. A friend of mine, Stanley Rader, who is the attorney for the Worldwide Church of God, stated that no money comes in over there, but certain people that maybe don't trust ministers to put the money where it's supposed to be, they'd call up and say, we'll sponsor your radio program or TV program on our local station here, and we'll also sponsor it in New York or where else, and they'll come up with the money for it. And so I'm very willing to do that, because we will spend the money where we where we tell you, Will. As a matter of fact, you can choose the stations or the newspapers that you want to put my literature in, and that would be just marvelous, because why should it come to us and then us pay the bills with it when you could do that if you like? You could be part of our staff to get these newsletters that I've written in newspapers, these different messages that the Lord has given me, and you'll be responsible for winning millions of souls, because my literature is winning millions of souls. You don't have to be on TV to win millions of souls. You can. We win more souls on the streets and in these newspaper articles than we ever have on television, and Sue and I were on TV for 10 years. Okay, so let's continue on here.
After reading Earthquake, this man said that it was refreshing to see the truth preached in such boldness.
See, because it was in the newspaper or in one of my gospel tracts. And we're putting the gospel tracts in the newspaper. It is refreshing. So many of them call in and say, it's so refreshing to see truth in the newspaper. Okay? There's very little truth around in this world. The only truth there is the Word of God. That's it. Okay, what else?
He wants Messiah books and whatever literature we can send in German and English.
And when you learn the truth, which is the Word of God, the truth will set you free, because there's so many things in the Bible that the Lord says is okay, and people are not taking advantage of it. You're still bound up by Catholicism or Buddhism or Hinduism or Shintoism or all these false religions. But when you know the truth will set you free to do the work of the Lord. You know, you can't really do the work of the Lord unless you believe the Word of God and let God do what in you what He wants you to do. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. Okay? And there was somebody that wrote in said that, well, when Susie and I were together, you know, that we did a great work for the Lord. But I'd like to remind her, he said, but now Tony is alone. No, I'm not alone. I've got people in this church that have been with me for 37 years. And they said, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. That's for new baby Christians that come in here. They have a lot of people around that can tell them the ropes and all that. But it doesn't mean that they're going to be my counselor. And they're not going to be the counselor of the Apostle Paul. He said that he didn't take counsel from anybody but the Lord. And that's my stance, too. So I'm not alone. I have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with me. And the work that we're doing today is thousands of times, maybe hundreds of millions of times bigger than it was when Susie was here with me. She passed away April 8th, 82. And there's like, they're trying to make it look, well, you know, I'm alone now and there's not much being done. Don't believe them. The world is full of liars, and there's these former people that used to be here at this church. This comes from a man named Marcel, who lives in France. He destroyed a work of God that I had going there when I was there, along with two other people, Bob Kitchener and another person, Neil Payne. I told them to tell. They were asking me a question over the phone. I had to come into the United States because they're about... They were trying to destroy our church in Los Angeles. So I took a boat. I got back on the QE2 and came back to the United States. And they had a question about, should a woman wear a shawl over her head or a covering on her head? And I said, no. And, of course, I don't speak French. And I says, tell that to the people. And they says, no, we don't believe that. And I said, right there in that same chapter, it says that a woman's hair is her covering. You don't need to put anything else on your head other than your hair. The Bible says that a long hair is the glory of a woman, all right? And the woman, if she's a godly woman, is the glory of a man. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, they would not tell the people that, and the other man was saying things about me that wasn't true. It's saying things about twisting the Bible. And Marcel just let him do it. So Marcel is a heretic. And people can just come up with anything they want. they're used to people on television and radio just telling their mind what they're thinking and what they believe in all this. Doesn't mean that it's true, because it isn't. Amen?
Amen.
How could it be that, you know, if we're doing 100 million times more now than when Sue is here, that I'm alone now and I'm not doing so much and I'm not listening to the people that I win to the Lord? I'm the teacher here, folks, okay? I'm the teacher. And I just don't allow people to come into this church and tell me, because I wasn't called into the ministry by choice. I was called audibly from the Lord, all right? And the Lord audibly talks to me all the time. And I'm like the Apostle Paul, who stated that he never got anything from the people that were saved before him, any of the other apostles, but that he got everything that he got from the Lord himself. No man preached to him either, and no man preached to me and led me to the Lord. The Lord himself got the Apostle Paul, and the Lord came and got me himself. And this, these people start feeling that they just forget my testimony. And so if I were you, I'd get a copy of my testimony called Dry Bones or Signs of the Time and read it. And this is the most supernatural testimony that I can think of, other than the Apostle Paul, the conversion that we had, and how the Lord talked to Moses. I mean, many are called, but few are chosen. I happen to be a chosen vessel of the Lord. That isn't bragging. Paul said the same thing. He said, I'm a chosen vessel of the Lord. He says, God called me, not you or anybody else out there. And I hear from God. He's taught me what I know, and I studied to know what I know from his word. And I'd ask him, is this true, Lord? Is this the real truth? Is this really, was there a misprint here or something? He'd tell me, no, that's it, that's it. Or, you know, this is a little bit, you know, here's a way to explain that to people so that they can understand. And you've got a bunch of heretics that backslid from my church, and you've got millions, hundreds of millions of people that backslid they didn't backslide, they got on higher ground by leaving the Catholic Church, Buddhism, Shintoism, Hinduism, and all these other isms, Catholicism, and that isn't called backsliding, that's getting out of those religions. Religion, the Bible says, is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord, okay? And so, yes, I don't let people come in here and start dictating to me when I most clearly hear from the Lord of what to say and what to do. And so if you have any intentions of coming here and teaching me, you're barking up the wrong tree. I've been saved 42 years listening to the Lord that long, and I'm not going to listen to you if you are bringing in heresy into this church. If people tell me their testimonies, I'll receive that, and I'll even, if you've got a good testimony, and if it's not too long, I'll read it over the air, and I'll even print it up like I did Bessie Haskell's and this other man that we have a piece of literature on him called Too Late, Too Late, Too Late, and I put out three other pieces of literature on Reggie Jackson, who was a cult leader, a gang leader in Memphis, Tennessee, called The Bones. I put his literature on. So if he got a good testimony, I'll print it. But I'm not going to let anyone come in here and teach me doctrine, because I get people calling in asking me for how to explain the Bible to them, and I'm quite able to do that. Okay, more than able. Okay, then what else you got?
This man wants to mail literature to his family in Germany.
That's a good deal. We have some distributors in Germany. We could sure use a lot more. Remember, this program is 281, and I want you people here to save this, because you know how the Vatican is. They'll take excerpts out of there. Nobody's going to teach me. They'll take out to make it look like I'm just so dogmatic that I won't even let the Antichrist government teach me anything. No, you Antichrists out there have taught me a lot. You've taught me what not to do, okay? So you have taught me very well. All right, with your pack of lies that sent me and many others to prison for many years for something they didn't do. Okay, then you are railroad jobs. And you probably, there's no doubt that you hang people and put them in the, and have murdered hundreds of millions of people with the U.S., U.N. troops from our country. But this is something else. Okay, and then what else?
Donald called from Chesterfield, Missouri. He read Dry Bones in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and said it was very enlightening. He was glad to see such truth in the newspaper and asked for more literature.
Okay, anything else?
Yes, a call came in from Tustin, California, from a Mr. Holliday who saw your Dry Bones literature in the Orange County Register and said it was an excellent piece of literature. He wants to tithe to the ministry, and he also requested your Messiah book and more literature.
I can tell you one thing. All the tithes that come in here would be used to get the gospel out to the world. And again, if any of you would like to sponsor a radio program or a television program, or if you'd just like to sponsor one of my pieces of literature in your local newspaper or newspapers anywhere, we'd love to put one of my pieces of literature in the newspapers over in Iraq, over in Iran, over in these different countries that are not Christian. And in Rome, Italy, well, that really stirred the troops up a lot over there, where the Antichrist lives, his seat is, and we want to put an ad in the Japanese newspaper in Tokyo and Hiroshima and all the other different places there, and also in Hong Kong, China. We're already in newspapers in the in Mexico. But, you know, we're running low on funds, and we have to stop doing that for a while unless some of you out there decide not to rob God and want to sponsor some of these programs, some of these pieces of literature that are soul winners. And if you'd like to do that, God will bless you 100-fold. Whatever you put into this ministry, God will give you 100 times more. He promises that. So why don't you find out? You'll find out for sure that the Lord's telling the truth if you'll do that. We have a man here named Buster. He has a business, and he spends most of his time away from the business. And the thing, his business has doubled and quadrupled because he tithes to this church. And so you won't lose anything by doing that, by tithing and giving to the Lord. All right, do you have anything else, Sharon? Okay, now we're going to chapter 14 of the book of Luke, because there's some real important parts here that I want. Okay, read Luke what?
Chapter 14, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked...
Okay, now the Lord was had his disciples go out and invite people to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so he said, here's a parable that will teach you what I mean. Now, you got all these people that are in the White House that, and a lot of insiders that had the World Trade Center bombed. It's for sure a bunch of ragheads didn't do that, and I'm not the only one that believes that. I know that it was the Vatican that inspired the people here that are supposed to be the United States government to bomb not only the World Trade Center, but they bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City, and they destroyed the little children and the mothers, their mothers, and the adult men there at Waco. And President Clinton even says, I take full responsibility for that, and so did lesbian Janet Reno. All right, now go ahead. So he's inviting everyone now. They don't want to come, these people, the elite, because they figure we're going to get our treasure on this side of eternity instead of the pie in the sky, so to speak. It's no pie in the sky. It's the promise of God, okay? And when God promises something, it's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to die, and it's impossible for him to fail, and it's impossible for him to lose. And anyone that's going to fall away from the Lord knew about this at the time that the whole Bible was written. He knew it. He said it. And it's happening today just as he said. So that should prove that the Lord knew the end at the same time as the beginning. And it shows that he knew what you folks out there would be doing in these last days. And he showed that it showed. You know, right here in the second chapter of the book of Luke, it tells about these shepherds just lowly shepherds. Now, why would God give a message? I have people say, why would God talk to you? I have no idea. Why would he talk to nobody else in the world about this Messiah that's being born at the time, but three, and most people would think scummy, smelly, or a bunch of, not just three, a bunch of scummy, smelly shepherds. He revealed that to them, and nobody else but them. Amen?
Amen.
And he showed them that it was going to happen in Bethlehem of Judea. He told them exactly where it was, and that you got to look not in the Hotel 6 or Motel 6 or, you know, the Budget Inn or Ramada or Holiday Inn, but where this supernatural thing is going to take place. He says, I'm going to show you a sign. Everybody else is living at the motels and everything, but to show you a sign, a virgin is going to bring forth this child. We'll be there with her little child, and he's going to have a little bed in the hay in a stable. Now, that's a sign, isn't it?
Yes.
Where would you find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a stable on hay? No, that's quite a sign, amen?
Amen.
And that it's wrapped in swaddling clothes, which means strips of cloth. That's a big-time sign to me, amen?
Amen.
If I was going to see, where is the King of Israel? I'll go to the Waldorf Astoria, amen?
Amen.
Or over to maybe the Trump Plaza, or something like that, or maybe the Trump Towers or one of the Trump apartments. This is where the king is. But no, the sign to you shepherds is that the king, the Messiah, the master, the actual savior of all mankind, the sign is that he's laying in a manger on hay. So I asked the people in this my office here if they know what the sign was. What is the sign? So they couldn't think. Wouldn't it be a sign? I mean, wouldn't that be obnoxious if you saw any baby? How would you like to have your baby in a, where the ox is and all kinds of animals and fleas and all kinds of stench? Now, that's a real sign. Amen?
Amen.
And so why did he just tell those shepherds? What makes them this, you know, how do they qualify? Or what did they do to be the only ones on the world to hear this? And then the wise men. Not three wise men, it says the wise men. Some men that feared God from the east. Okay, so they, just a few. Why did God talk to me or the Apostle Paul? One person. In the whole world, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Why did God just pick that guy who was killing Christians? Do you ever think about that? Why didn't he pick President Bush or somebody? Or President Ronald Reagan? Or Ronald Reagan, because he's a Catholic. I could have saved him. He could have saved him. But he, God didn't believe that he'd go out and blaze the gospel all over the world like I did and like Paul did. Amen?
Amen.
We did it, kids. Okay? We did it. What about you? Why didn't he visit you? Huh? Why didn't he visit you? Is it because you're Antichrist? That you don't believe the Bible? You don't believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Is it because of the fact that you believe in the Pope? The Pope, like Herod, King Herod, the wicked one that wanted to put Jesus to death when he was born? No, he went to the lowly. And this scripture that we're talking about here is the Lord talks about going to all these different highfalutin type people. And they says, well, no one will get married. I can't come to your feast. He's talking about the marriage feast of the Lamb in the kingdom of heaven. You're too busy with your horses, your oxen, your computers, all the garbanzos, all the garbage in the world, rather than to come and visit the Lord and to do what he says to do. But you want to know something? The Lord knew I'd do it. Amen?
Amen.
I've been doing it for the past 42 years, folks. Okay, now in case you wonder why he didn't come to you, because he knows that you wouldn't do it. Even after hearing the truth, even after reading my testimony the way that God got me, and even reading the Apostle Paul's testimony the way that he got him, Paul wrote more of the gospel than all the other apostles put together. Amen?
Amen.
And here, he was born out of season, he said. He didn't walk with Jesus when Jesus was here on earth. He, like the other apostles did, but he picks people. Many are called, but he chooses certain people to get it out. And then he tells you people that are out there in Radio Land to come on and back us up. At least do that. Go to your checkbook and write a check and send it in here so that we can get more out. I've got the guts. I've got the intestinal fortitude. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit in me. I have the fear of God. I'm not afraid of anything else in this world. I'm afraid of God to not do it. Okay, so if you want to choose radio stations or newspapers that you want me to run my letter to and just prove and see if I won't do it, you pay the bill if you don't trust me. And if you don't trust me, then who can you trust, okay? Can you trust President Bush? I think not. Can you trust the Pope? Are you serious? The Pope? The Antichrist? The whole Antichrist regime? The whole Antichrist, these people want to take the Bible out of school. But I want to preach the Bible, okay? Because what it does is uncovers the evil, wicked, rotten, filthy, scummy things that the people in this world are doing. And it tells you where it's coming from. It's coming from Rome, the city of the seven mountains. That's where it's coming from. Well, but we don't believe, we think it's the Jews. Well, you're thinking the wrong thing. Why do you want to think when you haven't got anything to think with? Amen?
Amen?
The Bible tells you where it's coming from. It's coming from Rome. Okay? Now, don't think. I don't think about that. But when I believe it, and then I check it out all over the place, and sure enough, all the abominations of the world are coming from Rome, Italy, the Vatican. This is Satan's church. This is where the great red dragon, the devil's seat, is right there in the Vatican. You ought to see all the nightclubs they have in there and all the corruption in that place. It's just unreal. And they talk about people protecting their churches by having guards. Well, I tried to go in and witness to the Pope. And what happened? That Frenchie over there in over in France, he was with me. And all these Swiss guards started pulling Uzi submachine guns out at us and telling us to halt, that you can't go in there. And they're standing in guard with all kinds of machine guns around the Vatican. And when you saw the Pope go on tour, even to the days where he's looking at his shoes, he couldn't get his head up, you could see that all the guards around him, they'd spend millions and millions of dollars just to go on tour with him and build special ramps in Canada when I was there. I sent troops over there, our people, to witness and testify. And he would, he had so many guards and bulletproof vehicle to ride in because he was afraid to die. Now, he let people die in hospitals, but he didn't. That's why he didn't want to go to them, because they've already been programmed, trained by the Vatican to kill people, to starve them to death, or to give them lethal injections if they see them suffering so much, because that's what the Vatican says is the proper thing to do, is just put them to death. There's books written on, how to get out of the hospital alive. That's a death camp, some of these hospitals. And it's like universal. They'll put you to death quick if one of the nurses gets a wild hair in her brain and thinks, well, I'm going to be merciful to this person. I'm going to put them to death. And they come in with a needle, and that's it. It's all over. Okay, so now this is talking about, he's going to give them a parable of how he's inviting all you wealth, you fat cats out there, all you wealthy people to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He wants you to go to heaven. He you know, even though you're weasels, he still wants you to come. He wants you to repent. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, you could be a weasel and repent and just don't be a weasel anymore and become a messenger, a distributor of this literature. And these videotapes or the CD tapes and these, as a matter of fact, we're doing videos right now. The stations so far have not let us on, but we will send you copies of them as soon as we get them perfected a little bit more. Okay, now let's start reading from the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, verse 7.
Jesus put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out...
Which were bidden to the feast, amen?
Amen.
To come to heaven. Come on, you want to come to my wedding supper up here, and you can partake it and spend eternity in blessed kingdom of heaven, which is like the glory land, just over in the glory land. I'll join the mighty Christian band just over in the glory land. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, come on to the feast. And then what?
When he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, be a lowly person. Don't be like these pompous people in government. All they were was former attorneys. That's all they are. Okay, and they think there's some... They want to be dictators. President Bush says, I don't mind a dictatorship as long as I'm the dictator. Oh, boy. All right, then what else?
And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat
right,
with
if,
thee.
Right, if the person, the head of the church, or if the Lord exalts you to a higher position, then that's your position. The Lord, I didn't exalt myself. As a matter of fact, you never even heard me preaching the gospel for 17 years until Susie died. She said I was too brutally honest. And that it would offend so many people. And I said, well, you know, Jesus offended people to the point where they nailed him to the cross, and so did Paul, where they cut his head off and all the other things, and they nailed Peter upside down on a cross. So, I mean, look, we have to be Christians, Susie. Either be a Christian or bow out. I'd rather bow out than sugarcoat the gospel. There's nothing sugary about it whatsoever. Okay, it's fact. It's absolute fact. Then what?
For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased.
Right. Let the Lord exalt you. It's for sure the Lord is not exalting the Pope. They're exalting themselves and all the administration and all the federal government agencies that are murdering, slaughtering people, and taking part in any of it whatsoever. That isn't the Lord telling them to do that. That's their Lord, the devil. Then what?
And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Yeah, those that humble themselves before God, not before man. I hear people say, well, I'm just going to humble myself before you. Do you want me to shine your shoes? That isn't what it's all about, Elfie, shining people's shoes. No, the Lord wants us to be bold to do what he says to do. And that, to God, is humbleness before him. To stand up to this God of this earth, which is the devil, and rebuke and reprove him and to lead people away from him as far as you can. Then what?
Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee.
Right, you don't see me going to these big dinners of the president. I had somebody call me and says, Mr. Clinton is going to be over at... and I know President Clinton when he was governor. We had... We sat down and ate before together and stuff. And they wanted me to know if I could go there and pay $1,000 for a dinner. And I says, I don't do such things... Okay, I'm not, to me, he killed a bunch of Christian brothers and sisters and children. I don't want to eat with him. He's an idol. He worships the Pope and Mary and all these different people. When the Lord, she's not deity. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is deity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's them that I worship, and I'll stay here with the lowly people that are lowly before him. Being lowly doesn't mean that you're low class. Being humble before the Lord, lowly before the Lord to do his will, is what the Bible is talking about. And to not offend people, it doesn't say to offend. He says to offend one of these little ones, one of us that are born again Christians. It'd be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and that you be cast into the sea, into the bottom of the sea. A millstone so heavy that it would take a team of oxen to pull it around and around. That's what happens when you offend one of us. Because when you offend us, the Lord is in us, and you're definitely offending the Lord because we're his children. And would you get offended if somebody was persecuting your children? Yes, you would. Don't lie now. Okay, then what else?
But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt...
They can't invite you to a feast either. They might give you a bite off their hamburger or their hot dog or something like that, but they can't, they're not going to buy a big feast for you. They don't have the moolah, the money, okay? Then what?
For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
Yes, in heaven. Do what the Lord says. The elite, they call themselves the elite. The Lord isn't calling them anymore. He's calling everybody, but they absolutely reject. They're the ones that are bombing and taking over these different countries by bringing false accusations against the people. They're the ones that are just putting people to death just so that democracy, which is nothing more than dictatorship. This democracy started at the Vatican, and it was a way and means where it looks innocent the way they're taking over the world. But it isn't innocent. It's like what the Lord said would happen in the last days. Then what?
And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Then what?
Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many.
Well, this is actually talking about the Lord made a great supper. This is the wedding supper of the Lamb. This is where the Lord is being married to all the faithful people that were low before God, that humbled themselves before God. The people that are in the Vatican and all these false religions exalt themselves above God, and they're not going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Okay, keep going.
And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee.
Coming to you, God, is nothing. I mean, I want to go and see these beasts, okay? Or this piece of property. That's more important, you know, to go see some property that I own. But oh, how they are screaming now in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused.
Yeah, I need to go out and see if these oxen are going to plow my field good, instead of going to your stinky supper, God, instead of going to the supper of the Lamb, your Son, that died for the sins of the world. Ox and land is more important. Do you understand why God lets you go to hell? What a poor bunch of people. Their brains and their souls and their reasoning is so warped. Go ahead.
And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.
The Lord says anybody that puts father, mother, wife, son, daughter, anybody or anything before me is not worthy of me. So if you put a wife before the Lord, you're not worthy of him. And if you put a husband before the Lord, even your mother or father before God, when he tells you to do something, you're not worthy of him. And then what else?
So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded.
Right, that's what the Lord is doing now. I mean, that's why we go out on the streets every day. We go out in the streets with the gospel and invite all the characters on the street out there, because it's the characters, for those of us that never expected that God would pay any attention to us, that never expected that, you know, we figured that we must become somebody in this world, some high-class person, somebody that doesn't pay any attention to the gospel in order to be invited to God's elite party, his wedding party. But that isn't true. He wants us to go out in the streets and collect all the people, the beggars, the lame, the halt, the blind, the people that are winos, the people that are into all kinds of sin. And the people that are like that should say, oh my God, God has invited me. They should be so honored that they would repent gladly and come unto the Lord and just be so thankful and do everything that he wants them to do. But are they doing that? Not very many. That's why the Bible says that very few shall be in the kingdom of heaven, but the Lord has to enlarge hell and the lake of fire so that the people can be accommodated down there. And then what?
And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room.
There's still room for people to come. You know, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Then what?
And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Yeah, and for this, people are saying that we're hypnotizing people, that we're brainwashing them, that we're, doing all this thing, when, in fact, the people that are saying these things are the biggest liars on the face of this earth. Then what?
For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper.
All the ones that were bidden that are the fat cats that never wanted to do anything for the Lord, they're not going to even get in one toenail into the kingdom of God. But they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Then what?
And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost?
Okay, so if you got to count the cost. The Lord tells you what you have to do to be saved and to get into heaven. If you think that this life is all you want, what you get in this life, then do it. But know this, that you live comfortably in this world and do the things that you want to do, you're going to be in the workhouse and full of torments and fire and brimstone for the rest of eternity. So I've run out of time, and I'd like to say that those of you that the gospel, that God makes sense and the world doesn't, that God makes sense and the Vatican and all these false religions don't get you or make sense to you, well, then just bow your heads now and ask the Lord to enter your heart. And he said he will. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just say to God now, and really mean it, say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and your word is true. Your word says anyone that calls upon you shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise the Lord. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord, because he provided salvation for you. And there's much more. And just keep listening to the tapes and you'll learn all about it. So share and tell them four different ways to receive a copy of tape 281, program number 281, or a CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479 782-7406.
Okay, this is me singing His Name is Wonderful, but this will, we'll run out of time, so before we go, I'd say this is World Pastor Tony Lama saying God bless you and praise the Lord, and His name is wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
His name is the Word of God.
He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, a rock of all. Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful.